الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اول سوره الجمعه اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الارض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم هو الذي بعث في الاميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم اياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمه وان كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين واخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the previous session, we tried to understand in depth the meanings of the four basic terms that appear four times in the Quran. Regarding the basic methodology of the revolution of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you must be recalling that I said, revolution, what does it mean? Changing the system, the political, social, economic system of a country. For revolution, you need a party, revolutionary party. The party consists of people who, first of all, have deep conviction on the revolutionary ideology. Which envisages that revolution. And then they should be ready to devote, dedicate, and sacrifice everything they have for the cause of that revolution. So what does it mean? First of all, you have to change people, individuals. Individuals, when they are changed, they have accepted the revolutionary ideology. And now they are ready to sacrifice everything. Now jihad and qital and challenging the system passively or actively, all these further steps can be taken. But if you don't have people who have deep commitment, who are devoted, who are disciplined, who are ready to sacrifice everything, you cannot go ahead. Now the basic methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to change individuals has been given in the Quran four times, as I told you. First of all, in the prayer of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, رَبَّنَا وَبَعْثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Then in the 18th section of Surah Al-Baqarah, the granting of this prayer of Ibrahim and Ismail and the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Then again, in the next surah, Surah Ali Imran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And for the fourth time here in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. I told you that repeating the same term four times, what does it mean? That they are very important. We must focus our high power lenses on these words and understand through them the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through tilawat-e ayat, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called people towards Islam, towards Allah and towards Iman. Then through these ayat, he purified them. Because Quran itself claims to be shifa. Shifa'ul lima fi sudur. All the ills and diseases of human soul can be cured and treated only through Quran. Then the book, the law. This is halal, this is haram. This is permissible, this is prohibited. And then topmost wisdom. And this wisdom actually has two parts. یہ بیسک فلوسافیکل وزڈم. دس بیسک فلوسافیکل وزڈم کنسرنس ایمان, بیکاز دی میٹافزکس, دی ایتھکس, دی سائیکالوجی, دی سوشولوجی, آل دیز تھنگس آر برانچز آف فلوسفی. اینڈ وی ہیو سین دی سیکنڈ سیکشن پارٹ آف دس سلیکٹڈ کورس آف اسٹڈی دیٹ آل دیز سبجیکٹس آر کورڈ بائی ایمان. دین دیر از دی ڈیٹیلڈ پریکٹیکل وزڈم, دیر از دی حکمت الاحکام. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی, وائی ہی ہیز میڈ دس تھنگ حرام, وائی ہی ہیز ڈکلیئر دس, واٹس دی ایل ان اٹ, واٹس دی بیڈ تھنگ ان اٹ. اف یو نو اٹ, دین ایکچولی دس وزڈم, دس از کالڈ حکمت الاحکام, دی وزڈم آف دی کمانڈمنٹ آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی. اینڈ شاہ ولی اللہ دہلوی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ, ہی روٹ اے بک, ویری والیوبل بک, حجت اللہ البالغہ. اینڈ دس بک از اکارڈنگ ٹو ہز اون کلیم, اٹ ڈسکسز دی علم و اسرار الشریعہ, دی شریعہ, دی پاتھ, دی لا, دی شریعہ محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اٹ ہیز وزڈم بہائنڈ اٹ. ایوری تھنگ دیٹ ہیز بین میڈ مینڈیٹری ہیز اے وزڈم بہائنڈ اٹ. ایوری تھنگ وچ ہیز بین پروہیبیٹڈ ایکچولی از پروہیبیشن, از بیسڈ آن وزڈم. سو دس وزڈم, اف اٹ از انڈرسٹوڈ بائی ہیومن بیئنگز, دین دے آر کیپیبل آف میکنگ اجتہاد. اینڈ دس اجتہاد واز اسینشل فار دا مسلم, بیکاز ناؤ دس قرآن واز دا لاسٹ میسج آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی فار آل ٹائمز ٹو کم. Conditions will change, new problems will appear, and for those changed conditions and for new problems you have to make ijtihad yourself. Now no verbal wahi will come, no nabi, no rasool, no prophet, no messenger of Allah. Now you have to see your own path with your own eyes, and those eyes you have, one eye is your Quran, the book of Allah, the other eye is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Keep these two eyes open, and now make ijtihad and find the solutions to the problems which come your way when the time is passing. So that is actually the hikmah. Now I was discussing in the end of the previous session that the logical knowledge sequence should be, first of all, if you want to change a person, change his thinking. Change of thinking to make a person Muslim is, let him have the faith, belief in Allah and the hereafter and the institution of Bahim. If he really has this iman, his actions and deeds, they will be rectified. Because if the thinking is correct, now his actions and attitude and behavior will be correct. Now the ground is prepared. Now you tell him this is halal and this is haram. Actually now he will obey it. That is why we find the same sequence in revelation of the Quran. In the whole of the Makki Quran, which comprises of the two-third part of the Quran, there are no ahkamu sharia. Only discussions about iman, tawheed, akhirah, risala, then basic morality. Araita alladhi yukazzimu bid-deen, fadhalika alladhi yadahu al-yateem, wala yahubbu ala ta'amil miskeen. Basic morality. In the Makki surahs, nothing made declared haram, nothing declared mandatory, except for the salah, you can say. And that also is the last part of that Makki period. In the 11th year after the beginning of Wahi, this Surah Bani Israel, when it was revealed, after that the five prayers program, mandatory five prayers a day, that was given to the Muslim Ummah. It was also after Miraj that these five prayers were made mandatory. Before that, nothing was mandatory. No zakah. You spend whatever you like in the cause of Allah to get his pleasure, but no fixed rule whatsoever. Nothing prohibited. Neither liquor was prohibited, nor gambling was prohibited. Sahaba Ikram, they were taking liquor. They were doing whatever the people were doing. Nothing was made haram until that time. And two-thirds of the Quran consists of Makki Surah. So iman, faith, tawheed, akhirah, they were hammered in their minds, hammered and hammered, so that this became firm, firmly rooted in their hearts. And then the morality, basic morality. Then after Hijrah, now Medina, Madani Surah, now you have the fundamental do's and don'ts. This is haram, this is halal, this is permissible and this is forbidden. All these legal teaching of Islam came after Hijrah. So this is the logical sequence, and the same is the sequence in the revelation of the Quran. Now we proceed with the study of the Surah Mubarakah, serially, word by word. یسبح للہ ما فی السماوات و ما فی الارض. Everything that is in the heavens and everything that is in the earth glorifies Allah. This subject has been discussed many a times, and I don't want to devote any time now, because we read Surah At-Taghabun. It started with the same word, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then we have read Surah As-Saff. It also started, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And we have discussed it twice. But now you note, الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Four names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they appear in the end of this ayah. First of all, please note that usually in the whole of the Quran, many ayats end in the names of Allah or the attributes of Allah. There is very little difference between attributes and names. If it is with Alif Lam, it becomes proper noun, it becomes name. If it is without Alif Lam and with Tanween, then it is an adjective, then it is an attribute, it's not the name. Alimun, this is an attribute. Al-Alimu, now this is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qadirun, this is an adjective, attribute. Al-Qadiru, now this is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually, either the adjectives or attributes or the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they appear in the end of many ayat of the Quran, but they are always two. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Four. But here we find four. And it's only in this collection of surahs that we have two at two places, four. And at one place, eight names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are grouped together. We have four here, Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Aziz al-Hakim. We have four in Surah Al-Hadid. Huwa al-Awwal wal-Akhir wal-Zahir wal-Baqi. Wa huwa bi kulli shay'in alim. Alim, alimun. Now this alimun is not named here, because it is common now, it is an adjective or an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in Surah Al-Hashr we have Al-Malik Al-Quddus Al-Salam Al-Mu'min Al-Muhaymin Al-Aziz Al-Jabbar Al-Mutakabbir. Eight names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grouped together in one ayah. Rather, in that ayah we should say nine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هو الله الذي لا اله الا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. So if you include Allah also, then they are now names of Allah in one ayah. This also is a pointer towards the importance of these surahs, starting from Surah Al-Hadid, ending with Surah Al-Tahrim. These 10 madani surahs are very important, and I have discussed many a times the importance of these surahs, especially for the Muslim Ummah. Now here, the point to be noted, which is very important, is that all these four names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a logical connection with the four basic terms that has been used regarding the basic methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are those terms? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That is, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْحِكْمَةِ. Four terms and four names. And every name of Allah has a logical connection, relation with that, the terminology of the ayah number two. He is Al-Malik, the King, the Supreme Sovereign. This has a connection with يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. Reading out to the people the royal proclamation. Royal proclamations, announcements coming from the king, being proclaimed in the public. In the same way, Al-Malik, and from that Al-Malik, these proclamations are coming, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting them to the people. Number two, Al-Quddus, the holy, the all-holy, the pure. Actually, I've said this before also, it becomes very difficult to translate these Arabic words into English. Al-Quddus. Actually, it's very difficult. You can't find one word. Holy is actually not a very profound type of word. Al-Quddus. Subbuh. Now what will you, how will you differentiate between a subuh? Subuh and Quddus and Rabbuna wa Rabbul Malaikat wa Ruh. Now subuh and Quddus, what's the difference? In English, at least I have not been able to find appropriate words. So the All Holy, the Holy One, and it has a connection with Yuzakkihim. What does Yuzakkihim mean? To purify, to make you also holy, to make you free from these ills of the spirit. So Al-Malik, Yatlu alayhim ayatim. Al-Quddus, Yuzakkihim. Number three, Al-Aziz, the All-Powerful. And I tell you again here also, you can't find one word. The person who has all the authority. Authority is the only word which can come close to this Aziz. But there is no word in English which can denote all authority. A person who has all the authority. But he has the authority, all authority. If he has the total authority with him, well, he is empowered and authorized to give you commands, to prohibit anything, and to make anything mandatory upon you. So Sharia actually, what is it? From that Al-Aziz who has all the powers, all the authority to declare anything halal, anything haram, he is the only one. So this is connected with Muallimuhum al-Kitab. And the fourth name, Al-Hakim. And the last word in that ayah, Wa-Hikmah. Ta'limul Hikmah. So these four terminologies, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, Wa-Yudakkihim, Wa-Yuallimuhum al-Kitab wal-Hikmah. They are a reflection of the four names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. Huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulam minhum. It is he who has raised from among the ummiyin. Now note the difference. The corresponding ayah in the preceding surah, huwa alladhi arsala rasulahu. Arsala yursilu irsalan means to send. Ba'atha, ba'atha means to raise. These words, they are being used, they are different. To raise from among the ummiyin, the unlettered people, rasulam minhum, a messenger who is from among themselves, not a stranger, not belonging to any other race, any other nation, not coming from any far country, no, from among themselves. It is he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyin, who has raised from ummiyin, rasulam minhum, a messenger from among themselves. Now what does it mean by Nabuwah? This Nabuwah, Naba and Nabi, Nabzul, because Alif, Waw, Ya, they are taken to be Huruf al-Illah. And this word denotes actually something raised, something high, something far off. Naba, a news coming from very far off. And Nabul, someone who is above, who is at a higher level. Nabi and Nabuwah actually, raising a person. He was a human being, but now he has been raised to a higher level, and that higher level is Nabuwah. And this is Ba'atha. Ba'atha also means to raise someone. It is he who has raised from among the unlettered people a messenger from among themselves. Now what is the meaning of Ummiyin? Some people, they say that it denotes to the people belonging to Ummul Qura. Ummul Qura, this word appears in the Quran, in Surah Ash-Shura, for Makkah. Ummul Qura, the central city, central town of a country. Every civilization, every country has some one central town. And that is called Ummiha Rasula. This word appears at another place also. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always when he sends some messenger to any country, to any region, he sends him to the central city, which was the seat of power, seat of authority. The Rasul was sent, the messenger was sent to that city. In the same way, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to Makkah, and he was raised from among the Makki people who were residing in Makkah. This is one opinion, that Ummi here means people who live in Ummul Qura, that is Makkah. But the consensus of the Mufassireen is that Ummiyin means the unlettered people. People who didn't have formal education. This word, let me quote here, it has been used in the Quran in many ways. First of all, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ. This ayah 78 of Surah Al-Baqarah. It says that the Jews, the Yahud, the Bani Israel, they comprise of two sections. Number one, people who don't know the book. مِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ. The other people are their ulama. And they write the book with their own hands, they change the wordings, and then they say, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually those common people who don't know the book, who don't have the knowledge of the book, they have been referred to in that ayah as ummiyun. Just as we have, at least in the non-Arab Muslim countries, out of 1.25 billion Muslims in this world, only I think 20 crores or 1/4 of a billion are Arab, whose mother tongue is Arabic. So they know the book at least. They might not be reading it, might not be following it, they might not be pondering over it, they might not be acting about according to it, but at least they can understand. But about 1 billion Muslims don't know the meaning of the Quran. مِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ. It's a wishful thinking that because we are the people of the book, so we are the chosen people of the Lord, so Jannah, and you know salvation is our birthright. This is the Amani. Secondly, this word appears in ayah number 20 of Surah Ali Imran. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ وَالْأُمِّيِّينَ أَسْلَمْتُمْ. Ask, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both these groups, the people who have the book, and the people who are ummiyin, who have no book, أَسْلَمْتُمْ. Do you accept Islam? Do you surrender yourself to the will of Allah, to the command of Allah? Now this word ummiyin here is used opposing, in opposition to the word of people who have book. People without a book, they are ummiyin. Thirdly, this word appears in ayah 75 of the same surah Ali Imran. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ سَبِيلٌ. It was a wrong notion of the Jews. They thought that we will not be accountable on our behavior, misbehavior, misdeed, dishonesty towards these Gentile people, the Gentiles, the Goyims. We are responsible only that we should not tell a lie to a Jew. We shouldn't deceive and cheat a Jew. We shouldn't take riba from a Jew. But from the Gentiles and the Goyims, we can take anything and we can treat them in any way. We are not going to be responsible or accountable on the Day of Judgment about these ummiyin. Here this ummiyin word appears as meaning the Gentiles and the Goyims, as the Jews think. So this is the word, meaning of the word, and here it is definitely, the meaning is that those people from whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were unlettered ones, because very few of them knew writing or reading. Number two, they had no book, because you know, they belong to the progeny of Ibrahim through Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam. Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam was definitely a Rasul and Nabi, but after him, at least I think at least 3,000 years had passed that no Nabi, no Rasul had come to them. The Nabuwah and the Sala was continuing in the second branch of the progeny of Ibrahim. Ibrahim's son, Ishaq, and from Ishaq, Yaqub, and from them, the Bani Israel, and then Hazrat Yusuf, and after Hazrat Yusuf, Hazrat Musa, and from Hazrat Musa till Hazrat Isa, a chain, the continuous chain of Anbiya and Messenger of Allah. So that was the case. This branch of the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, there was no Nabi, no Rasul, no book sent, no revelation came. So they had no Sharia, no book. That is why I quoted to you this ayah of Surah Ash-Shura. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِيمَ الْكِتَابُ وَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even you didn't know what is a book. What's the book of Allah? You didn't know. Had you been born of Jews or Christians, you must have known the book. You must have known Torah and Injil and Zabur and so on. But because you were born of these unlettered people, among these unlettered people, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِيمَ الْكِتَابُ وَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. So this means the people who were unlettered, one basically, and number two, who had no book of Allah with them, who had no law of Allah with them. He raised from them the messenger, and he made him the last and the final and the complete messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulam minhum. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. Now about this منهم, first of all, it's a very big fortune for the Arabs. Arabs have a status in this ummah which no other nation can have, which no other nation can claim. We shall see in the next section of this surah that this ummah is composed of two parts, just like the structure of the atom. In the atom there is a nucleus in the center, and then there are electrons encircling that nucleus, moving, and there may be so many. The nucleus of this ummah is made of Arabs, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from among them, and because the last message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed in their language. They occupied that position, that fazila, that is actually a superiority. Although where there is superiority, there is responsibility also. And if a superior person doesn't fulfill his responsibility, he is punished more than the other people. So there is, jinke hukme hai siva, unki siva mushkil hai, in an Urdu couplet. Who occupies the higher position, then he is more responsible. If he does something wrong, he will be given more punishment. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you do something wrong, you will be given double punishment because you occupy a very special position in the society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you that you are the wives of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So actually now, if you do good, your reward will be double. And if you do wrong, your punishment will also be double. So in the same way, I was telling that the structure of this ummah is that nucleus is composed of Ummiyin, the Arabs. Then the Iranian people came and joined, then the Romans came and joined. Of North Africa, the nation after nation, race after race, then the Indians came and joined, then the Turks came and joined, and so on. They are like the electrons revolving around that nucleus. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Now what is this? Nabiyul Ummi has been mentioned in Surah Al-Araf in two ayahs. Let me quote those two ayahs also. In ayah number 157, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Those people who follow that unlettered Nabi. Here this word is used as an adjective for Nabi. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ. This is your مركب التوصيفي. Nabi, موصوف, and الْأُمِّيَّ, this is صفت. So not only that the nation was Ummiyin, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم himself was an Ummi. الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. About whom they will find, the people of the book, that the prophecies and the good tidings are there in Torah as well as in Injil. Yesterday, I gave you and recited to you the verses of Bible from the Gospel of St. John, the good news about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِهِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ. And let me quote here that in Torah also, in the book of Deuteronomy, Kitab al-Istisna, Sifru al-Istisna, in the 18th chapter and 18th verse, the note to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said to Moses alayhi salatu wa salam, I shall raise for them from among their brethren a messenger like you, and I will put in his mouth my word, and he will convey it to the people. I will raise for them a messenger from among their brethren. Now, Bani Israel. Who are the brethren of Bani Israel? They are Bani Ismail, two sons of Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq. Bani Israel, sons of Yaqub, who are sons of Ishaq. So, for them, from their brethren. Now, these brethren are Bani Ismail. And I will raise from among their brethren a messenger like you. Why like you? because to you also, O Musa, I am giving Torah, the book, the law, and to him also I will give the final law, the final Sharia. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hazrat Musa alayhi wasallam, they are very close to each other, very similar to each other. And you must know that out of the 6,000, more than 6,000 ayat of the Quran, 555 are devoted to the mentioning of Musa alayhi wasallam. 1/11 of Quran, just imagine, it consists of the mentioning of Musa, his life, his events, repeatedly in the Quran you find. So actually it's very near to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it's just according to that verse number 18 of chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, which is in Urdu or Arabic Kitab al-Istisna, and in that I will raise for them, and raise, Basa Kilumina, just imagine, the same word, I will raise for them a messenger from among their brethren, like you, and I will put my word in his mouth. Note it, because to Moses the book was given written form. It was written on the stone tablets, Torah, Maktuban. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not given anything written. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to his heart. Nazara bihi ruhul amin ala qalbika. And actually it was coming out of the mouth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I will put in his mouth my word, and then he will convey it to the people. So that is very important. That because here in the ayah number 157, الذين يتبعون الرسول الأمي الذي يجدون مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل. And in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the order or command to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قل, O Muhammad, say, يا أيها الناس, O people, O mankind, إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا. I am the messenger of Allah to you, all of you, not to any one race, not to any one country. To all of you, الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته. For the second time, the same adjective has been used for Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, النبي الأمي. So actually, not only that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was raised from among the Ummiyin, he was himself Ummi, al-Nabi al-Ummi, and twice in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, in Ayah 157 and 158, this word has been used for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, own person. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. We have discussed this in detail already in the first session. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. And definitely, verily, this in here is actually in place of inna. Inna. Wa in kanu min qablu lafi dhalalin mubin. Verily, indeed, no doubt, before his coming, before his advent, min qablu lafi dhalalin mubin, they were in ignorance, clear ignorance. They neither had the book, nor they had any law, nor they had any guidance. So actually, just as I told you, what was said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِيمَ الْكِتَابُ وَلَمِ الْإِمَانِ. Now it is more than 100% correct for the whole of that nation. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِيمَ الْكِتَابُ وَلَمِ الْإِمَانِ. You didn't know what is book, what is the book of Allah. You didn't know, all of them didn't know what's the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't know what's Iman. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given Quran. Through Quran, Muhammad got Iman first of all. And he said, Ana awwalul muslimin, ana awwalul mu'minin, I'm the first believer, I'm the first who surrenders his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa in kanu min qablu lafi dhalalin mubin. And definitely, before him, they were in clear ignorance. Now a more important part of this section, first section is, wa akharina minhum lamma yalhaqu bihim. Akharina minhum and others who are from among them. This is to be noted now here. Muhammad was sent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not for ummiyin only. Wa akharina, this wow, harf ataf, it denotes something added to ummiyin. Muhammad was sent to ummiyin, primarily, but not only to me, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, and others also who have not as yet joined them, their ranks, he was sent for them also. Now what does it mean? آخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. These are the people who are non-Arabs, who entered the trail of Islam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent for all of them. Ya ayyuhan nas, inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of you. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen. And we have not sent you except for the whole of the humanity. In five places in the Quran it has been mentioned that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, so to say, two parts of his mission. First mission, primarily. But please note, it was primarily. Primarily he was sent from the Arabs. His besa, his sending for the rest of the humanity is secondary. Why do I say so? There's a very good reason. You know, when his mission was accomplished in the Arabian Peninsula, the final commandment came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to proclaim to the Arabian people, either you accept Islam or Iman, or you will all be massacred and killed. The first six ayat of Surah At-Tawbah. No third alternative. فَإِذَنْ خَلَقَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمْ فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. Only 4 months were given to them. This is the only time now you are being given. And these ayat were proclaimed by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala on the event of, on the eve of Hajj of the 9th year after Hijra. The next year, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself came for Hajj. It's very noteworthy that although Makkah was conquered in the 8th year and the Ramadan of the 8th year, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't perform Hajj. Neither in the 8th year, nor in the 9th. He could do it. It's noteworthy. For those people who go to Hajj every year, there is a point to ponder over. Why do they do it? Muhammad didn't do it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the victory of Makkah, he was all powerful in the Arabian Peninsula. Could anybody prevent him from going for Hajj? So to say, he was a king. In common, you know, terminology can be said from the point of view of common people. Now he was the king. He is the authority. He didn't go for Hajj. Neither in the 8th year nor in the 9th year. What does it mean? The work before him, that is, to establish the deen of Allah, was much more important. And he was actually engaged in that. The expedition of Tabuk was before him. The expedition of Mauta, that he had to prepare. Actually, he was doing the mopping up operation in the whole Arabian Peninsula after the victory of Makkah. Because Makkah did fall in the 8th year after Hijra, but the whole of Arabia, there were pockets of resistance still remaining. And he had to clean them and mop them out. And that work was more important. It's very noteworthy. We people have different values. Go every year for Umrah. Go every year for Hajj. Earn money from haram means and go and just laundering, just know this word, laundering of black money. Go and get the laundering of your black money by Hajj or by Umrah. This is the way the Muslims are behaving today. But the practice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before me is that although he conquered Makkah in the 8th year after Hijra, he didn't perform. He couldn't perform Hajj that very year. Who could perform the Hajj the very next year also? But he didn't. But he sent Hazrat Ali. He sent the caravan of Hujjaj under the leadership and imara of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala in the 9th year. Then those six ayat that appear in the beginning of Surah At-Tawbah, they were revealed. Then he sent Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala as a special emissary, personal emissary, to go and proclaim these ayat. That for all the mushrikeen of Arab, this is the last chance. فَإِذَنْ خَلَقَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمْ فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. You'll all be killed. Although nobody was killed, I all accepted Islam. But understand that there was no option for them. Either accept Islam or leave the Arabian Peninsula. Go away from here. They can't stay here being Mushriks. This was the two alternatives were either Islam or so on. But for the rest of humanity, the third alternative was there. As I told you, during the past caliphate, whenever Muslims went and attacked any part of any country, any city, they offered three alternatives. Accept Islam, you'll be equal to us in every manner, in every respect. Or you accept the superiority of Islamic State. And you go to jizya ta'inabim wahum sadehun. Pay tax, remain small, accept the superiority. Law of the land will be of Islam. You will have the freedom, your religious freedom. You can go to synagogues, you can go to the temple, you can go to the all places of worship you like. You can believe anything, but you can remain in the Islamic State as a non-Muslim minority. And number three, if this second alternative is also not acceptable, then come in the field, now sword will decide between you and us. These were the three alternatives for the rest of the people, rest of the humanity, rest of the mankind. But for the people of Arabia, only to either accept Islam or you will be massacred. The third only was you leave this peninsula, go away. Why this difference? The difference is that to the people of Arabian Peninsula, Muhammad himself behaved as the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He himself gave the dawah. He himself purified the soul. He himself performed all the functions of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was no leniency for them. If they didn't accept, their fate should be, as would have been, the fate of the people of Noah and the people of Hud and the people of Samud and the people of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who were exterminated when they didn't accept the message of their messengers. So this is the difference. But for the rest of the mankind, for the rest of the humanity, the third alternative exists. It existed and it will exist always, that if they don't accept Islam, they can remain an Islamic State as a non-Muslim minority. They will have to accept the superiority of the law of the land. That law of the land will be of Islam. But their personal law, their personal beliefs, their personal modes of worship, their honor, their property, their life, they will all be protected. That is why they are called Zimmis. Zimmi, what does it mean? Zimmi. Zimma means responsibility. The Islamic State takes the responsibility of the protection of their lives and honor and everything that belongs to them. And we take the responsibility of granting them full freedom in religion. They can believe in anything. They can worship anything. They can have their own personal law, their own family laws, their own law of inheritance. All this that we call personal law, they will be granted full independence in that personal law. But the law of the land, the criminal law, the civil law, it will be the law of Islam. This third alternative existed for people other than the people of the Arabian Peninsula, because there was no such alternative available to the people of Arabia. Why? Because Muhammad himself was from Arab. He was himself an Arab. Quran was revealed in Arabic language. And actually all the responsibilities of the messengerhood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was fulfilled as far as the Arabian Peninsula is concerned by Muhammad himself. That is why I am saying that the primary birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to the Ummiyin, wa akharina minhum. All the other humanity, the rest of the mankind, it actually is akharin. Because we have it that the Prophet himself was asked this question. Let me narrate to you the hadith. And it is from Bukhari and Muslim both. Muttafaqun alayh. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qal. Kunna inda Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hina unzilat suratul Jum'ah. فتلاها فلما بلغ وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم قال له رجل يا رسول الله من هؤلاء والذين لم يلحقوا بنا فلم يكلمه حتى سأل ثلاثا قال وسلمان الفارسي فينا فوضع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يده على سلمان فقال والذي نفسي بيده لو كان الإيمان بسريا لتناوله رجال من هؤلاء وفي رواية لو كان الدين عند سريا لذهب به رجل من فارس او قال من ابناء فارس حتى يتناوله. Now this is the hadith that I have told you, it's muttafaqun alayh, accepted by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim both as authentic hadith. And this, as I have been mentioning many a times, this is the highest level of the authenticity of any hadith, about whose authenticity Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim both agree. It is from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting with him, when this Surah Al-Jumu'ah was revealed. It came to him, it was revealed to him, and then in that very session, he recited it to us. When he recited, and he was, when he reached this big word, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ قَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ, a person from amongst us asked him a question, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ, O Messenger of Allah, who are they? وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, which people are meant by these words? فَلَمْ يُكَلِّمْهُ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give the reply. حَتَّى سَعَلَ ثَلَاثًا, the person asked him thrice, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ هُمْ, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ هُمْ, فَقَال, Abu Huraira says, بَسَلْمَانُ الْفَارْسِي فِينَا, سلمان الْفَارْسِي, the Persian, Salman from Persia, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was with us in that meeting. فَوَضَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدَهُ عَلَى سَلْمَانُ, the Messenger of Allah placed his hand on Salman and said, بَلَّذِي نَقْفِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ كَانَ الْإِيمَانُ بِسْقُرَيَّةِ لَتَنَاوَلَهُ رِجَالُ مِنْ هَاوْلَاهِ, I fear by that, by him who owns my life, in whose control is my life, that if Iman was on any scar, any person, some person from his nation would go there and get it. What does it mean by that? That these people are, for example, the Iranians. Because after the Arabs, the first to enter the Pale of Islam were the Iranians. Because Sham, Syria, when it was conquered, most of it was inhabited by Arabs. The Iraqul Arab, Shamul Arab, these were two actually countries, two parts of the Arabian Peninsula itself. But they were under the control of, Iraq was under the control of the Persians, and Sham was under the control of the Romans. But they were part and parcel of the Arabian Peninsula. But later, when Iraq was conquered, people who entered the Pale of Islam, first of all, collectively, after the Arabs, were the Iranians. So actually this hadith proves it, that آخرين منهم means people other than the people of the Arabian Peninsula. آخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم, who have not joined them up till now. Because most of these people joined the Islam and the Muslim Ummah after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam spread to the east, to the west, to the north. But it was actually after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During his lifetime, there was one battle of Mota, and the other was a journey of Tabuk. So he initiated the internationalization of his revolution. He accomplished total revolution, accomplished, fulfilled in the Arabian Peninsula in the year 9 after the Hijrah. But after that, he initiated the process of what the Iranians have been calling exporting of the revolution. After the Iranian revolution, you must have heard this word, exporting the revolution. And this is the common rule with every revolution. Any revolution, if it is a true revolution, cannot remain bound by any geographical boundaries or natural boundaries. These boundaries cannot obstruct the way of revolutions. Revolutions spread to east and west. French Revolution. It was brought about in France, but then the system of democracy spread east and west everywhere. In the same way, Bolshevik Revolution. It was brought about in Russia. But it traveled to Latin America, to China, and so many other countries. In the same way, the revolution of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fully completed and accomplished in his lifetime, only in the Arabian Peninsula. It extended, and it went to east and west and north, but this was all after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. Now, how can we call them minhum? Because potentially they are Muslims. And potentially in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were going to join the Muslim Ummah. They are a part and parcel of the Muslim Ummah. But this difference will remain forever. the nucleus of this ummah is consisting of the Arabs, the Ummiyin. The non-Arab Muslims, they constitute the electrons that are surrounding this nucleus. And the responsibility of the Arabs is much greater than the responsibility of the other Muslims. They are co-responsible. They will get more reward if they go on the right path. But they will be punished more severely if they take to the wrong path. Which I said in the last previous session, that this is going to come very soon. The Holocaust and the Malahim, Kitab al-Malahim, full chapter in the books of the Ahadith about the wars which are going to come very soon. And it is very correct, whosoever might have said it. But the versions are correct, that the Gulf War was the mother of wars. It's the beginning of a long series of wars. The Armageddon, the greatest and the biggest fight and war of the human race, human history, is going to be fought. That is called Armageddon in the last chapter of Bible, that is the Revelations. And Prophet ﷺ has named it Al-Malhamatul Uzma, the greatest war that is to take place. And that will be in the Middle East. That is going to start. As far as I assess, as I told you last evening, within 2 or 3 years, Masjid al-Aqsa will be demolished. Why? It's so simple, so logical. It is for them what is Kaaba to us. For 1924 years, it is lying raised to the ground. Only one wall remains, a part of one wall, which they call the Wailing Wall. They go there, weep there, they mourn there, and come back. Their temple of Solomon, their Qibla, their Kaaba, lying raised to the ground. How can they bear it? They did it. Why? Because they were part of this. They were in diaspora. They were scattered throughout the world. They had no power, no strength. But now they have a land of their own. They have their feet very strongly on that soil. And nobody, no country in the close region is powerful enough to challenge them. None of them. Only Iraq could have atomic teeth. There was a danger that atomic teeth could grow to this country. And what happened to that country, everybody knows. So actually, at least in the closed region, there is none who can oppose or challenge Israel. So why don't they? Why should they? I have brought that map today, of which I was telling you many times. You can see after the prayer of Maghrib, this is the architect's presentation of that after the demolition of Masjid al-Aqsa, this will be the form of the Temple of Solomon that is going to be built. And you must have heard, if you have not heard, let me tell you, because this of Masjid al-Aqsa is being renovated at this time, you must have heard, you have read that news, that if they needed a few months, I don't know the exact amount, of gold for the plating of the dome. And for that, King Hussein of Jordan has sold a palace of his in London to buy that gold. And the Jews, this Time magazine published that the Jews are saying, okay, this gold will be used by us. When we shall reconstruct our Temple of Solomon, we shall use this gold for the dome of that Temple of Solomon. So these are the feelers. They are publishing these things so that the Muslim Ummah, you know, it becomes accustomed to it. And this thing doesn't come to them as a very strange surprise. So that is their subtle way of making something known so that they don't take it as a very surprise and they don't not react very violently. Anyhow, آخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he is Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. Al-Aziz, why? He is all-powerful. He had the authority to choose his last messenger from wherever he liked. He chose the unlettered people. From them, he raised his last messenger. It is his authority. Nobody can tell it. The Jews were very sad over it. They had all the grief. This was our property for 2,000 years. This prophethood, messengerhood, the revelation coming to us. And now it has gone to Bani Ismail. To these unlettered people, only you. These Gentiles. How can we accept? Although they know دے نیو ویری ویل اینڈ دے ریکگنائز محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم قرآن یعرفونہ کما یعرفون ابناءہم دے ریکگنائز ہم جسٹ ایز دے ریکگنائز یور اون سن دے آر ناٹ اینی مسٹیک دے آر ناٹ مسٹیکن بٹ دے آر ناٹ ریڈی ٹو ایکسپٹ دس ڈیگریڈیشن دس نیما دس بلیسنگ ہیز بین ٹیکن اوے فرام اس اینڈ گیون ٹو دیز انڈرٹن پیپل whom they looked upon low and whom they hated like anything. These people who have no book, no law, the unlettered people. And these people have been given this great station and high level that the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from him. Allah says, I am al-Aziz wa huwa al-Aziz al-Hakim. I am authorized. Allahu ya'lamu haythu yajalu risalatahu. He very well knows where he should place his risalah, whom he should select as his messenger. It is for him to decide. It is his prerogative. It is his authority. But he is Hakim also. He is all wise. He has chosen this nation, not unknowingly. This nation had something. And then this person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has chosen him. Not at random, but on the basis of his knowledge and wisdom. He has chosen this place, this Arabian Peninsula. Please note it. It was the meeting place of the three old continents. This was the center of the world. America was not known. Australia was not known. Arctic and Antarctic not known. So actually the world was Asia, Africa and America. And Africa also the lower part, it was all in darkness. So Europe, Africa, the northern Africa was actually the cradle, has been the cradle of civilization. Then Europe and Asia and Arabia, that is just the meeting place of the three continents. There was no superpower over there. Iran and Roman Empire, they were in the north. There was no established government over there. So that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the time, had the breathing space to bring about that revolution. If there had been any established government, it would have been very difficult. Much more difficult to bring about a revolution in Arabia. It would have been very difficult in Iran. He would have to face the standing armies of hundreds and thousands of people. But here in Arabia, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the basis of his hikmah, on the basis of wisdom, complete wisdom, he has chosen Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has chosen this nation and this area of the world for the last messenger, and he has sent him from among them. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.